A reading from Acts. During the night, Paul had a vision. There stood a man of Macedonia pleading with him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." When he had seen the vision, we immediately tried to cross over to Macedonia, being convinced that God had called us to proclaim the good news to them. We set sail from Troas and took a straight course to Samothrace, the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city in the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city for some days. On the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate by the river, where we supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and spoke to the women who had gathered there. A certain woman named Lydia, a worshiper of God, was listening to us. She was from the city of Thyatira and a dealer in purple cloth. The Lord opened her heart to listen eagerly to what was said by Paul. When she and her household were baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come and stay at my home." And she prevailed upon us. The word of the Lord.
So this spring we have about 20 of our high school youth graduating from high schools around the area, and about that many graduating from college as well. One of the neat things about being here for so many years is the kids who are now graduating from high school were 9 years old and up here for children's sermons when I first came. It's amazing to watch them grow. And here they are setting out in this new chapter in their life's journey. So how do you know when you're going the right direction in your life? When I was graduating from high school, in my yearbook, a lot of people were writing this to a guy who really knows where he's going. I mean, I was so sure about where I was going. I was going to go to become an international legal expert, you know, and travel the world as a lawyer. So much I knew. Well, how do you know when you're on the right path? Well, you could reread "Oh, the Places You'll Go" several times and see how that helps you. That was Dr. Seuss's graduation speech at one point, by the way. But for believing Christians, we ask a little bit different question when we're trying to look for direction. It's this: how do I know where God wants me to go in this or that decision in my life? How do I know I'm on the right path? How do I be open to the Holy Spirit of God to guide me? After all, as we keep saying around here, the Holy Spirit is always flowing through the world and through life. And this past week, our staff did a retreat with a spiritual director who had us asking this question about our lives, you know, and our ministries. How do we listen for God? And that's an Easter to be continued question. How do you know when you're being led by the Spirit? Sometimes it's real clear, other times not so much. Sometimes it comes as a gentle nudge, and other times it can come as a shock, like a couple of our members this past week, one who found out within a day that he was having open heart surgery, and another one who had hip surgery within a day without realizing what was happening beforehand. So you're not going on a trip to Europe, you're going to have a hip replacement. You're not going on a cruise, you're going to have a heart transplant, heart valve fix, you know. And what a gift it is to be able to spend time with people around here in this congregation who have the depth of faith like these two did, who were spiritually grounded enough that they could go, "I know that God's leading this thing. I know it. God is taking me in a different direction than I planned." In our reading from Acts today, it's kind of might be hard to see this map, but Easter, the impact of Easter is continuing in the early church. Paul, who had been so, you know, stubborn and bullheaded that Jesus had to blind him on the road just to get his attention. Remember that story? Today we find Paul and his two partners, Saul and Timothy, on a second missionary journey, and you can see on this map, see, they start from Jerusalem way down there in the corner on the right-hand side, and they travel up into Antioch, and they get to Antioch, and they start traveling, and they knew they were called to turn the world upside down. That was one of the names for the early Christians, world upside down turners, with the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But where were they supposed to go? Well, they had just had a church council meeting in Jerusalem, and on the agenda was whether non-Jews, unclean Gentiles, could become believing Christians, right? Well, that thing got settled. There was a big fight, but they finally settled it. The Holy Spirit prevailed in that church council meeting, and people were sent out just as Peter had been sent out. Remember, Pastor David told us about Peter struggling with this issue last week and deciding that the church is more about building wells instead of fences. It was a great image. So a compromise was reached, and it was agreed Jews and Gentiles were all welcome in the body of Christ. So Paul set out with Timothy and Silas, and they were determined to go from Antioch up there into Asia Minor, a part of Turkey. But clearly, Paul has learned something from his blinded by the light experience, and he's listening for the Spirit more. And the Spirit, it says, prevented them from going there. So they thought, well, let's go to Bithynia, which is up further north. That's kind of circled in red. And then the scripture says the Spirit of Jesus wouldn't let him go there either. Okay, Lord, where do you want us to go? Imagine it was kind of frustrating. But in answer to that, Paul is given another vision. A man in Macedonia, which is Greece, way over at the next red circle up there, actually says to him, come over here and help us in this vision. So they head on over, and their first stop is this Roman colony, Philippi, where there weren't enough Jews to build a synagogue, so the custom then was that for the Jews to gather down by the river to pray. And at this point, there were just women there. When Paul and his partners join them, and they tell their witness about Christ, a woman named Lydia responds so quickly, you know it's the Holy Spirit working on her. You know, a wealthy woman with lots of influential connections, unusual for women in that day, and Luke takes great care to describe this to us here. And in 2020, by the way, we're going to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the ordination of women. 50 years ago, amazing. But so today, it isn't strange to us that that our bishop of the whole ELCA, Elizabeth Eaton, the first female bishop, is respected as a leader in our midst. She's an incredible, incredible leader. And it isn't strange to see women serving in the military, as we remember them this weekend, either, giving their lives for our country. But in the year 47 AD, it was a big deal to see a woman like Lydia with her own business and running her own household. Lydia, the first Christian in Europe, the founder of the church in Philippi, which still thrives today, by the way, lots of congregations there, and Paul's favorite congregation. He wrote them a letter, and he just loved that congregation. And a few days later, after Lydia's baptism and all, Paul and Silas are unexpectedly thrown in prison for silencing a fortune teller. And you know what happens? It's kind of interesting. They even see that as guidance of the Holy Spirit. So they're preaching the gospel in prison and singing hymns. Here they are, you know, leading the singing in the prison. And when all of a sudden an earthquake happens and all the prisoners' chains are broken off, and the jailer, who believes he's going to be executed if he loses any prisoners, comes in there, and Paul says, don't worry, we're here. And the guy who's been listening to all the singing and preaching all night, I suppose, says, what must I do to be saved? And he and his family are baptized on the spot. Again, the work of the Holy Spirit in the most unexpected places, huh? What unexpected turns of events in Paul's life and mission, all because he listened to the promptings of the Spirit of Jesus, who led him to this remarkable woman, Lydia, who used her considerable influence and wealth to launch the church in Europe. Think of that. Oh, the places you'll go when you follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, huh? So, how do we discern the Spirit? It's not always obvious, is it? As John Polk once said, sometimes we like to have everything in our life so planned out that all we need to do is pray to God and ask Him to bless our plans. But oh, the places you'll go often by surprise. It's not always obvious, right? You might end up in Texas, for heaven's sakes, you know? How do you discern the Spirit? Well, quite a while back, my dad had a girlfriend several years ago who talked incessantly. You couldn't get a word in edgewise. I don't know if she even breathed between phrases, you know? But at any rate, somebody in the family had told her, "You talk too much. Why don't you quiet down?" And she was kind of hurt by that. So she talked to Emily, and she said, "You know, everybody says I talk too much, and I probably do, blah, 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 blah. But how do I stop?" And Emily said, "It's easy." "Really? How?" she says. She said, "Listen more." Then she went on with a whole talk about listening. But listen more. In the book of Samuel, we are told that nobody had been listening to God for years. And so it came as quite a shock to the little boy Samuel when in the temple when he hears his name called out in the night. "Samuel, Samuel." Finally, after three times that this happens, the old priest Eli realizes it must be God calling this boy. So he gives him some good advice. He says, "Now, go back to your bed, and next time you hear the voice, simply say this, 'Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.'" And in the din of the crowds and of all the things that want your ear and your attention, how important is it to have space and time for God? Starting with spending maybe an hour with God here and with your brothers and sisters in worship once a week. And then spending maybe just 5 minutes a day at the start of your day with God, reading your Bible, praying, and then listening for God. That's how you discern. Speak less, listen more. Next frame, Scott. Thanks. Thank you. Sometimes, by the way, the Spirit speaks through other people around you as well. So listen to them. They may be speaking for the Spirit. Now, and even if it takes a long time before you get an answer, probably because we want things to go our way instead of God's way, right? The Spirit will guide you. Sometimes it's as subtle as coming to a decision and feeling this peace settle in on you. Like the gospel reading says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." When we allow things to go God's way instead of our way. You know, and sometimes it's facing a crisis and having to let go of your most cherished opinions about who you are or what you ought to be doing. God is, after all, a God of surprises, right? Like resurrection from the dead, that kind of surprise. So just as you and I are called to listen for God in our individual lives, the church is called to do the same thing. That's why we've launched this Vision 2020 team, which began with a wall of wonder. If you'll see it in the fellowship hall, you can still see it today if you haven't seen it before. Some of our reflections on the last 50 years. This 2020 team is launching a process to lead us in discerning at this 50-year mark, what direction is God taking us next? And this listening is going to include the things like this, looking at our demographics in our service area, our mission turf, that is, just as Paul and his companions did when they entered Europe and decided to go to Philippi. It's going to include listening to things God has done through us already and listening through the gifts and resources of who our members are now and the human needs God's putting before us locally and globally. We're going to listen to all that. And this grid is what we're going to be using, among other things, to do this kind of a dry dock experience, pull the church out of the water and take a look at the hull and see what shape we're in and where we're called to go. So you'll notice there's a flow of the Holy Spirit. We call it that. Holy Spirit flow chart. And thanks to Ben Kessler, who's the head of long-range planning, who took my scribbly, junky writing and made it into a beautiful piece of art like this. You'll notice that it goes from left to right. On the left is worshiping and learning. And what is the purpose of that? It's to deepen and strengthen us and through all the structure we have in the congregation. For what? To get to the other side, to witness and to serve God's people in the world. That's what it's all about. The direction is always toward witnessing and serving. Our mission as God's people. We're not a Rube Goldberg machine. Some of you are old enough to remember this. He created this machine that had all these gizmos and contraptions on it, and all it did through its whole process was create enough grease to lubricate itself. That's not us, is it? We're going somewhere in the flow of the Spirit. That's what's happening here. But again, it requires listening. And for all of us, humbly realizing that God may take this congregation in a direction that's a whole lot different than you want or I want. God being a God of surprises, right? But when we're submitting to what God wants, even if it's difficult or contrary to our ideas or makes us uncomfortable or creates conflicts, we know that God always wins. And even when you can't see clearly, and I can't see very clearly down the road in our own lives or in our mission together, trust that God does, especially in those times when things aren't going your way. Like Paul, being prevented from going one place to take a different path that made all the difference. Whatever the case, I'm going to tell you, my life is much happier. It's more successful even when I keep asking not what do I want, but God, what do you want from me? You're never going to be happier than when you keep asking that question. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. You've called us, Lord. We are yours. Help us to be with Paul and Silas and Lydia, your ongoing witnesses, as Easter continues.